Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Luke Meduna. He is an outdoor or wildlife biologist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Good morning, Luke. How you doing today?
Good. Good morning, Rick.
I should say a wildlife biologist and primarily associated with turkeys in the state, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Fall season is coming up, starts next week. That's probably a good place to start. When does it start, and how long does it run?
Yeah, our fall turkey season runs September 15th to the end of January, so January 31st, 2023.
One of the longest seasons that we have on the books right now.
Yep.
And then during the fall season, how many permits can you have and how many turkeys can you take?
So right now, each individual hunter can have two permits, and each permit allows the harvest of two turkeys.
Let's take a quick review of some of the regulations right now.
Sure.
Local shooting times, how does that work for turkey season?
It's still similar to the spring, where it's 30 minutes before sunrise to sunset.
That 30 minutes before sunrise, I always like getting out early in the spring and listen to them wake up on their roosts and gobble and stuff. And
yeah,
that's just
sure.
a fun time to be in the woods with them.
Yep.
Have you ever got too close to a roost that when they finally come down, it's like you're being strafed?
Yeah, well, I've had them come down and realize they're coming down out of the tree. I'm leaning up again.
Yep.
Then you got no chance.
No chance, but it sure is fun to watch them scramble with it.
Yep.
Legal weapons. What kind of shotguns are, well, archery too, but what is the requirements that we have to look at?
On the shotguns, it just has to be shot size 2 or smaller. Then on the archery side, it's real similar to the deer. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, longbows and crossbows and compounds. The primary part of that is that it's just got to have a blade of at least 7/16 of an inch. Or you can use a blunt head as well. So
now, when you said
pretty simple.
When you said number 2 or lesser shot, I think the low end is 7.5, if I remember correctly.
We actually altered that. That got changed here a couple of years to allow those the TSS loads.
Oh, that's right, because they're multiple shots. There are some that are they're mixtures. They have bigger shot
yep.
and smaller shot. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
That when that came out and those type of shot shells were first on the market, I had sent a note to Jeff Rawlinson, and I said, how is this going to work in the regulations?
Yeah.
And I think that's when you guys made the adjustment, so that was good.
Yep. It took us a couple years to catch up to that, but we included those a couple years ago.
And I think, did you mention that you could take 2 birds on a permit in the fall? But
yeah.
Did you mention both? You could do either sex in the fall.
Yeah. Yep. It's an any turkey permit in the fall, and it's actually been an any turkey permit since the inception of that fall season in 1962.
Right. So. Right. And that I don't think a lot of people realize that fall turkey hunting was originally what we did. It was only
yeah.
maybe in the last 30, 40 years that spring turkey hunting became a thing.
Yeah, well, they started that. Our first season was in 1962, was a fall season, and then the first spring season was in 64. And I've read through a bunch of the old documents and stuff, and they actually started in the fall to kind of create that fall hunting, the turkey hunting culture, because they thought if they started in the spring, nobody would be interested in hunting them in the fall.
Well, traditionally, that's why we have Thanksgiving and the turkeys associated with Thanksgiving, because that's
yep.
what the pilgrims hunted. I always thought that was an interesting piece of history.
Yeah.
Now let's get into the current situation we have. I know we've had some issues with seemingly dropping numbers of turkey populations in the state. Is that just me, or is there really a drop in the
No,
the
that's not just you. That's we've seen that. I mean, you know, most of us biologists you know, personally, but also with our surveys and, you know, turkey harvest and all that, we really peaked with our turkey populations in kind of that, 2009 to 2011 range, you know, some areas of the state, maybe a little bit before that. And then it's kind of been a slow decline since then. Right now, we use rural mail carriers as kind of we have an index that we get from, they do surveys three times in the year for us, where they count. They spend, I think, is it 3 or 4 days, 1 week counting, you know, all sorts of wildlife that they see, and then they enter it. Help us out with that. We've seen with those counts, we've seen about a 45% decrease statewide over the last 10 years.
Wow. What caused the peak, and then why the slide away from it now?
Well, some of that, you know, the peak was, you know, kind of just the continuing expansion of turkeys across the state, you know, through all those years. You know, and they had kind of just, it had kind of slowly been going up and up and up. And then we kind of hit that, you know, early 2000s range, and they really seemed to explode. And I don't know that we've got a great answer for that. That was also, that time period was when West Nile hit, and that impacted a lot of the raptors, particularly great horned owls. You know, and so it's quite possible that allowed just a real boom in turkeys. We also had, you know, the 2000s were a fairly dry period, particularly in the springs, which allows for, you know, better nest and poult survival. So it's, and, you know, turkeys are, you know, like pheasants and quail, they're subject to boom and bust years.
Right.
And so if you stack a few boom years on top of each other, you can really ramp that population up. And so it's quite likely that's part of what that boom of turkeys, you know, really was, you know, I mean, because we had turkeys. I mean, if there were, you know, across a lot of the country, if there was a mature tree, there was a good chance there was turkeys roosting in it, you know, no matter where you were, middle of the sandhills or not.
I've joked about that and even written about it in my columns, that there for a while, if it was even marginal turkey habitat,
yep.
About the only place you weren't going to find turkeys roosting was in the middle of Walmart's parking lot. You know, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of that where we really probably couldn't support that number that we had, you know, say in 2010. So some of our decline is probably just simply a regression to what the population can support. Now, obviously, there's some pockets of the state where bird numbers are below. You know, we probably should have more birds than what there is, and some of those causes are, you know, somewhat unknown at this point. I mean, we've had some wet springs, you know, the early 2010s where we had some, you know, pretty wet Mays and Junes. So, you know, our production may not have been, you know, what we needed, you know, and it's quite possible that, you know, there's been some habitat changes going on, whether it's, you know, cedar invasions or, you know, with high commodity prices, there's, you know, been tree belts and you know, habitat coming out, you know, for production and just things like that might be impacting. And then there's, you know, the possibility that there's been some, you know, undocumented disease go through and impact birds as well. Some of that's unknown. We're actually in the process of launching a research project here this next winter to try to look at some of that.
I was going to ask if loss of habitat and then now the drought, how much of an impact that's been on it. So
and drought
that.
Can kind of go both a little bit both ways in that just, you know, you can have some better nest success because that heavy, particularly like if you get, they've shown that, you know, rains over an inch or so in that May and June time period can negatively impact nest and poult success, but also the hen success, it just or hen survival when they're in that nesting period. So if you get a bunch of big heavy rains that time of the year, it can be hard on them. So if conversely with a drought, that can be good for them to kind of help them out, but you also, there's habitat impacts there. So it's, yeah, you have differing things going on.
I know that rains, when you talked about that early, you know, after those poults have hatched and they don't really have their mature feathers yet, rains can
right.
be devastating. They'll get soaked and cold and die from that
yep.
quicker than predation is going to take a toll on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, let's talk about what's coming up for 2023. I noticed that the commission adopted some new regulations for hunting, and both in the spring and fall, that kind of deals with the changes in numbers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Yeah, we actually were in front of the commission last week, and they voted on our proposed regulations or proposed orders for turkeys. And what we're looking at for 2023 will be two permits in the spring for both residents and non-residents, but with a cap of 10,000 permits for non-residents. This past year we had a total of 15,000. Historically, we've been about 13,000. So it's in kind of bringing that number down. But it's really, it's just trying to get the number of permits on the landscape just more representative of what our turkey population can handle for hunting pressure and harvest. One of the other things is that there's also a daily bag limit restriction. You know, you can allow the harvest of two birds, but for the daily, you can only shoot one bird per day. So there's, you know, no more of, you know, shooting your bird and then, or shooting two birds that come into your decoy. So you gotta wait a day before shooting another bird, and that's just simply to try to reduce that local pressure on those birds. That was something our commissioners really wanted to see.
That was one of the reg changes I keyed in on, because a few years ago, I was hunting with a buddy. We were in my blind, had some decoys out, and a bachelor group of toms came in. Five toms, four were Easterns and one was a Miriam. And I told my friend, I said, Fred, I said, I got to get the Miriam. So it ended up that not only did I get it, but I waited until they were lined up and I got both with one shot. And I had the right number of permits, but I just thought that was pretty unique to be able to do it in one shot.
Yeah.
And, I told everybody, I said, you know, I said, nobody would believe that except my buddy happened to be a Lutheran minister. And I said, I figured they might blame him.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably you guys have done the right thing. It's due. It's to balance the resource out there. And that's probably
what
your guys are all about.
Yeah. And I guess the other that'll impact the spring. The other big change coming this next year is all of our turkey harvest will be there will be a mandatory reporting through telecheck like we do with deer.
Yep.
It'll be over the internet or phone. That was actually passed at our June commission meeting, and that'll really help us gauge what our harvest actually is. Right now, we get our harvest through a postseason survey, which I'm sure you've got in the past.
Oh yeah.
And of course, filled out, right?
Yep, I do. I try to faithfully get those back into you.
And we appreciate that. We get about a 20% response rate, which is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is really pretty good.
Right.
As far as gauging what our overall harvest is and all that, but when it comes down to, you know, analyzing, well, how many birds did we have in Lincoln County, you know, taken in Lincoln County or Frontier County, some of that gets a little trickier because the sample size is starting to, you know, be a little lower, and the response rate isn't necessarily always consistent county to county. So we're moving to that. That'll help us gauge that harvest and make some, you know, more informed decisions if we want to look at going to back to units like we used to have, or, you know, things like that. And I guess looking at the fall season, we'll be removing that bonus tag that's on there. So each the permit will be good for one bird, and then we're going down to a single permit per person. So it's kind of a big move in the fall for the total number of possible, you know, birds you can take. In reality, you know, most people, there's not a ton of people that are shooting four birds. It's, you know, just a few percent that are filling both permits right now. So that's the kind of the big changes there. I guess the other thing for the fall is we're those season dates are getting cut down by a fair amount. So our fall turkey season will just be the month of October and November at this point, just to, again, reduce that pressure on the birds and give them a bit of a break throughout the winter.
I've used the fall season for years as my season to introduce new hunters to the sport, particularly kids.
Yep.
because the young poults that have been out there, you know, they've never been through a hunting season. They are not wise to the ways of hunters.
Yeah.
And can do some stupid things that we can capitalize on. And that's for a brand new hunter, that's great. I still be able to do some of that, but like you said, not as long. It won't be as long a season. What do you have for recommendations for new hunters? How would you go about telling them, or what would you tell them about turkey hunting and how they can get involved?
It's one of those seasons that's pretty, whether it's fall or spring, there's, really a pretty good opportunity to get out there and, utilize a number of different tactics. You know, the fall, you find a group of turkeys, pretty commonly. I mean, the easy way to hunt them is to kind of sneak up on them, bust them, and then sit down and, wait a couple minutes and start calling. That's a pretty, especially if you hit one of those poult groups, they'll tend to come back to you, like that. So that's a fairly good way to, get in on them. And, in the spring, chasing them with decoys and calls and all that, there's just a lot of opportunity to get out there and chase birds.
You brought up a good point when I was thinking about fall hunting tactics. They do travel in family groups, and they're constantly calling and murmuring back and forth amongst themselves. So if you don't really know the area, if you can just get to a high point and sit and listen for a while, you'll probably hear turkeys to start with. And then you can figure out maybe what your plan is going to be. I liken it to, the mom with a group of kids, and if watch a mom try to go through a store or the mall, what's happening? They're always saying, come back over here, don't go there, whatever. There's constant chatter, and it's what it reminds me of. And they come in, and like I said, if you can hear them, then you can get your hunt plan together.
Yeah.
You also mentioned, getting in and breaking them up. Have you done that very much?
My first turkey was actually a tom that I busted a group, and actually I snuck up on him and actually shot him out of the air about 20 years ago or so.
Nice.
in the fall. So, but yeah, and I've not done I'm trying to think. I might, I guess I did that a couple times when I was up in South Dakota. Up in the Black Hills, but that's a little different hunt up there in the fall. But yeah, and I know there's a number of people that utilize that. I've never sat down and called them. It's or in the fall call them back. I haven't done that. I guess
I've used calls quite a bit in both seasons, and it does work in the fall.
Yeah,
one of the more exciting ones I ever did, talking about busting a flock up, is I had a chance to hunt down south. And where we were hunting, they were allowed to use dogs for their turkey hunt, and the guy had beagles trained, and they'd sit there right with you until you gave them the signal once the flock got close enough, and they'd run out into the middle of the flock and bust them up. And that was kind of fun to watch.
Oh, I bet.
So we got about 4 minutes left in the show, Luke. What other points would you like to make sure we get out this morning? One thing is go get permission. That's a big thing with hunting of everything in the state, but your scouting
definitely.
And get permission.
Definitely getting permission and getting access on private land. Make sure you're community, and even when you do have permission, communicate with the landowners that you're hunting on, so they know if you're hunting and around. The other thing is, this safety in the fall with, there tends to be a number of different hunters out there, different users. So if you're running into other hunters or something like that, always be cognizant of what's behind your shot, but also if you're calling or something and somebody comes sneaking in on you, don't sit there and try to wave at them. Make sure you're saying something. Use your voice to communicate to other hunters and not try to motion, because You never know what somebody's reaction
motion
may be.
May draw fire, yeah. Nebraska's pretty good, but other states do have a lot of problems with injuries in the turkey season for that. Hunters shooting other hunters.
Yeah. We've been pretty fortunate. Some of it's just the population density and the and all of that with Nebraska just being a lower population state. And the other thing, you typically tend to have fewer instances on private land and being 97% private.
Right.
Because most people know who else is hunting on private land. We don't quite have the same issues. Our public lands, we think they get crowded, but compared to a lot of those eastern states, our public lands aren't really all that crowded.
All right.
So
one of the more interesting safety things I saw is I was hunting in the state of Missouri, and when they gave you your tag, you had a couple little peel-off dots that you had to put on it, and they had some little saying like "Remember safety" on it. But one of the dots had to go at the back of your receiver as you were looking down the sights, and it was kind of your last reminder to make sure you're target.
Huh.
I always thought that was kind of a neat approach to it. So,
yeah.
No, anyway,
that would definitely keep it on your mind.
I hear music in the background, which means we're done. Bud, thanks a lot for being on the show this morning. Thanks for the update.
Of course.
And have a good season yourself.
Yep, you too, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.